All right, Ruth, chapter 3.
Do you want me to read it?
Maybe we can actually get some. Is there anybody who'd like to read a section?
Maybe.
You, thank you. All right, Caleb, how about you read verses 1 and 2? And then, Philip, could you read verse 3 to the end of verse 13? Mm-hmm. I'll read the rest of chapter 3. And then, Philip, could you again read the first, let's say, first 10 verses of chapter 4?
Mm-hmm. Go back and forth.
All right, so Caleb, over to you when you're ready.
And Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not seek rest for you, that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz our relative, with whose young woman you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor.
Wash, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your cloak, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." And she replied, "All that you say I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had commanded her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. Then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight, the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." And he said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, and that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now it is true that I am a redeemer, yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight, and in the morning, if he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then, as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning."
So she lay at his feet until the morning, but arose before one could recognize another. And he said, "Let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." And he said, "Bring the garment you are wearing and hold it out." So she held it, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "How did you fare, my daughter?" Then she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, "These 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said to me, 'You must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" She replied, "Wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today."
We'll go on to chapter 4. Now Boaz had gone up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the Redeemer of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, "Turn aside, friend, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. Then he said to the Redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, is selling the parcel of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. So I thought I would tell you of it and say, buy it in the presence of those sitting here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not, tell me, that I may know, for there is no one besides you to redeem it, and I come after you." And he said, "I will redeem it." Then Boaz said, "The day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you also acquire Ruth, the Moabite, the widow of the dead, in order to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance." Then the Redeemer said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I impair my own inheritance. Take my right of redemption yourself, for I cannot redeem it." Now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging. To confirm a transaction, the one drew off his sandal and gave it to the other. And this was the manner of attesting in Israel. So when the Redeemer said to Boaz, "Buy it yourself," he drew off his sandal. Then Boaz said to the elders and all the people, You are witnesses this day that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and Mahlon. Also Ruth the Moabite, the widow of Mahlon, I have bought to be my wife, to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brothers and from the gate of his native place. You are witnesses this day.
Then all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you act worthily in Ephrathah and be renowned in Bethlehem. And may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring that the Lord will give you by this young woman." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the woman said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For you, your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the woman of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez fathered Hezron. Hezron fathered Ram. Ram fathered Amminadab. Amminadab fathered Nahshon. Nahshon fathered Salmon. Salmon fathered Boaz. Boaz fathered Obed. Obed fathered Jesse. And Jesse fathered David. Amen. Okay. So, we're going to look at two things today in this session. First, the Lord displays his loving kindness in and through the lives of his people. The Lord displays his loving kindness in and through the lives of his people. Okay, this is something that we see all throughout the Bible, all throughout probably maybe your own experience, is that people begin to look more and more like the people that they hang out with, right? Maybe you've even noticed how people you know who spend a lot of time together all of a sudden start to have the same kind of same slang, the same memes they reference or gifts they send to one another, the same kind of responses they give to certain things, the same likes and dislikes, all those things. One of the things that God does is when he saves people, he begins to show his character more and more in their lives, that his people are made like the God that they serve. And so the God who is the God of loving kindness, the God of faithful love or loyal love, also begins to show up in the people that he is working in. So before we get started, can anybody think of any examples? How do any of these characters show faithful love or loving kindness to one another? Can anybody think? How do these people show loyal love, faithful love to one another? What do you think? Okay, Ruth promising to listen to Naomi. Okay, very good. What did everybody think about Naomi's advice?
Well, 21st century dating.
Okay, yeah. I would say, first of all, definitely don't do it now.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts?
Do you have any insight as to what it kind of meant back then?
One thing that's surprising is that it also seems like it was really bad advice back then. I was reading one person who's writing about this, and they said that Naomi loves Ruth the best way she knows how and gives her terrible advice, which is really interesting, right? And yet, I think you're exactly right, Micah. Ruth does show that kind of love to Naomi. I think even through the bad advice, Naomi is trying to show love and kindness to Ruth there. But we also see Boaz showing this. So all of the people involved here really are demonstrating this. We'll go back. So we'll look more about what might be going on with what Ruth does. But again, highly unusual even for back then. So first, Naomi, letter A, Naomi demonstrates faithful love for Ruth by seeking a husband for her. Naomi.
I left the line before that, sorry.
Oh, no worries. The Lord displays his loving kindness in and through the lives of his people. So just as the Lord is loving and kind, so too his people begin to show that more and more. So Naomi demonstrates faithful love for Ruth by seeking a husband for her. I think this is really important to see, is that so far, right up until the end of chapter 2, Naomi has been quite inwardly focused, right? She's had horrific tragedy happen to her, and she comes back to Bethlehem, and what does she say? I am empty. Don't call me Naomi. Call me what? Mara. Call me bitter because the Lord has dealt bitterly with me. And so she's been looking at her own problems a lot. But now, even though she's going to give some unusual, you might go as far as to say bad advice to Ruth, for the first time she is kind of looking outside of herself and actually caring for someone else, for Ruth. And the other thing I would say is that while we see Naomi having this bitter complaint against God, notice that she still does complain to God. And just by way of application, I just would encourage you to do the same, is that if you are ever frustrated with something that has happened, you are ever even would describe yourself as being bitter with God, it is far better to go to God with how you feel than to try and hide that from God. Why is it pointless to try and hide that from God? Because he sees everything, right? And so while I think it could be said that Naomi doesn't handle things perfectly, I'm not saying that she complains without any sin, there's still this faith that she clings on to. She doesn't say, God has lost control of my life. She says, God has dealt bitterly with me. And it might be a small difference, but it's an important one. And so while you may feel as though I feel embarrassed that I'm frustrated, I feel embarrassed that I'm angry or upset, go to the Psalms, go to places like this, and use even the language of the Bible to go to God when those times happen. So that's just a bit of an aside. Number one, while Naomi's advice is unusual and even bad, she has begun to act for Ruth's sake. She's begun to act for Ruth's sake. She's looking out for someone else. While her advice is unusual and even bad, she has begun to act for Ruth's sake. So what is Ruth asking? Ruth is asking for redemption through marriage. Redemption through marriage. From as best as we can tell by Ruth going and laying at Boaz's feet, she was communicating that she needed his protection, that she wanted to have him be her redeemer husband. And yet why this was so dangerous is that think of all the different ways it could have gone wrong. What time of the day did this take place? Night. Was it in the town or in the country? Country. Right, so many things could have gone badly. Ruth could have met someone along the way who was not kind like Boaz. Boaz could have lashed out because he had no idea what was happening and think he was getting robbed. There were so many different things that could have gone poorly. Again, this was not how, if you were to like make a terrible show to put on Netflix about dating culture in the ancient Near East at this time, it would not have been called laying down at the threshing floor. That was not how most things took place. It was weird even back then. Sometimes we read the Bible and we say, I don't understand that. And it's because we didn't live during that time. This was not something that took place on the regular. This was very unusual. But what's happening is this is something called levirate marriage. Now, you don't need to know that word, but the second part you do. It was a way for God to remain... this was a way for God... make a mistake here. Hang on, give me one moment. Oh, sorry. This is a way for God to keep, not remain. This is a way for God to keep his promises to his people. This is a way for God to keep his promises to his people. You see, in those days, what happened was that the people of Israel had specific land given to them. And so if you kind of look out over like the backfield there, it's not like the whole land would be given to the nation and they would be able to buy it and sell it as they wanted. Instead, different sections. So like the playground, let's say, the playground would belong to Theo's clan forever and always. The Gaga ball would belong to Sam's clan forever and always. And then and that would be their special land the whole time. But if Sam died, let's say, without any children to follow him, all of a sudden, people would be thinking, what's going to happen to Sam's land? Is there just going to be a free-for-all and other people buy it? Yeah, Theo's already got his greedy hands going right there. He's like, I can expand my playground. And what would happen was that someone who was related would marry someone and raise a child who would then inherit what Sam had left with no heir, right? So what's happening here is that Elimelech has died, his sons have died, and now the land that Mahlon and Chilion would have had is going to kind of disappear, and their names are going to disappear, and that's really, really sad because God had promised that his people would have the land forever and ever. And so what's happening here is that Boaz is being asked to raise Mahlon's kid, basically, is that Ruth's first child will be treated like her old husband's child and will inherit his land and be given all those things. And it's a huge, huge sacrifice for someone to do. So Ruth is asking for this, and Naomi is initiating it. We'll come back to that a little bit more later. Letter B. Ruth demonstrates faithful love for Naomi by seeking a protector for her. Ruth demonstrates faithful love for Naomi by seeking a protector for her. It's easy to miss Ruth's selfless love for her mother-in-law. Well, what do you think is the main way that Ruth shows her love here? There's a specific line that Boaz says, something she doesn't do.
She doesn't go and marry a younger man and leave Naomi.
That's right. That's right. She did not look for a husband among the young men, and instead chose someone who could provide and protect them both. So the situation we can kind of imagine here is someone who would not have been able to look after another mouth to feed, right? You think about, sometimes people talk about the cost of living crisis. I'll come back to that. Sometimes people talk about a cost of living crisis nowadays. Things are so expensive. Back then, it was also expensive to feed more and more people. And so if you're looking for a husband who maybe would have been around your age, if you're Ruth, you would have been thinking, well, this is a good fit, except maybe he can't provide for my mother-in-law, who again in that society could not have gotten a job, could not have done these other things. It would have been a big ask to add someone else to the family in that way. So, Theo, do you need a blanks for number two?
Blanks for number one and two.
Cool. So it's easy to miss Ruth's selfless love for her mother-in-law, but she did not look for a husband from among the young men, and instead chose someone who could provide and protect them both. So again here, Ruth, by following those instructions, by going to the right person, she is showing a love and kindness towards her mother-in-law. All right, letter C. Boaz. Boaz demonstrates faithful love for Ruth and Naomi by his willingness to redeem them. Okay. So, Ruth goes to Boaz and says an amazing line that we really can't skip over. It says in verse 9, Boaz is startled in verse 8. Behold, a woman lay at his feet. It seems like he's shocked, right? And he says, who are you? And she answers, I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer. Does anybody think that language sounds just a little bit familiar? Language of spreading the wings.
It's in Isaiah, right?
Yeah, yeah. So it's language that is in Isaiah in terms of finding protection under the Lord's wings. But even closer to our text right here, could someone go back to Ruth chapter 2 for me and read verse 12? This is Boaz speaking now. Jonathan, would you be able to read chapter 2, verse 12? Yeah.
May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge.
So, and this is the fill in the blank here. Ruth invites Boaz to be the answer to his prayer. Ruth says to Boaz, you've said to me that I've taken protection under the Lord's wings. Now, will you spread your wings and protect me? Basically saying, Boaz, you've wished this upon me, you've blessed me, you've prayed for this. Will you be the answer to your prayer? Again, that image is one that is powerful. To think of something, if anybody has a flock of chickens or ducks or geese around their house, you can just see how the mother will wrap their wings around the young to protect them and care for them. It's even more if you picture, like Isaiah mentions, about an eagle's wings, about protecting them at a height as well. And number two, Boaz is not able to answer immediately because there is a closer kinsman. So Boaz is not able to say yes right away. And then as we go to chapter 4, this is the other relative. Oh, Nelly. It's a hard day. The closer kinsman, his reaction shows the high cost of Ruth's request. The second kinsman shows the high cost of Ruth's request. The Redeemer had to care for this new family, their land, and yet give it all to another family. This was a great sacrifice. So I want you to hear what's going on, and then I'll just review those blanks in case anybody missed them. The first person, the one who's closest to the situation, he says, if it's just Naomi, sure, I'll redeem it. That's no problem. Why do you think he was willing to do it then? Right? Naomi was older, right? She could not have any more children. And so if all he had to do was just to take care of Naomi, bring her into his household, and then he would get all this land once she passed away. But once Ruth becomes a part of the deal, all of a sudden this guy begins to realize, that means that I'm going to have to look after Naomi and Ruth. I'm going to have to raise a child with Ruth, and then that child is going to get to inherit all that new land, and he's basically going to still be Mahlon's child, and it's going to be a really, really big cost. It's going to cost me so much to look after them. I don't know if I can do it. And he says, I cannot redeem it. I say all of that because sometimes we think when it comes to Boaz, oh, Boaz loved Ruth. End of the story. Now, Boaz absolutely did love Ruth. But it cost a lot to go into this marriage. It's like he was having to repay off all of the debts that their family had. It's like if you were getting married and you had $100,000 of debt, and your new husband or wife, they paid all of that off, And you got to start from scratch, as it were. And then they didn't get to benefit from that. It's a huge, huge thing that he is doing, a wonderful sacrifice. So Boaz's reaction, sorry, the other kinsman's reaction shows the high cost of Ruth's request. The Redeemer had to care for this new family, their land, and yet had to give it all to another family. This was a great sacrifice. A great sacrifice. This shows us just how high the price of redemption was. Right? The word redemption, we talked about it before, being the idea of rescue. Another way of thinking about redemption means to buy back. That people would talk about redeeming someone if they were in slavery and they had to be bought back out of slavery and they would be then able to go free. It's a high price. So this is the way that Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz all show loving kindness to one another. And then our final point. The Lord demonstrates his loving kindness by richly blessing his people. So, what are some of the ways that God's people experience blessing at the end of Ruth? What do you think? Pick a person to start with. Who should we start with? Ruth. What does Ruth get from the Lord?
It's a husband.
It's a husband. Okay. What about Boaz?
It's a wife.
Wife. What about Naomi?
A loving
daughter. Sorry? Okay. She Ruth continues as her loving daughter, definitely. She also gets something else.
Happiness,
good.
A grandson,
but you're right, Micah. It's called her son, right? Let's read that again. This is at the very end of Ruth. And this is why some people have said that sometimes we should think about the main character in Ruth as Naomi. You listen to what people say. This is verse 13. Ruth and Boaz get married. They have a son whose name is Obed. And the people say, "Blessed be the Lord who has left, who has not left you without a redeemer. He shall be a restorer of life." And in verse 17, the women of the neighborhood gave him the name, "A son has been born for Naomi," and they called him Obed. And you just think this is amazing. The person who went away empty or feeling empty now comes and has a son even at this old age. So let's look at some of these. Letter A. The Lord blesses Boaz with a godly wife and son. A bit tired, Annie, eh? So Boaz, a lot of people think that Boaz might have been a widower, someone who had lost his first wife and was perhaps alone. Just some of the things he does, sleeping by the grain field at night, not having a situation like this. This is a wonderful thing for Boaz as well. Letter B, the Lord blesses Ruth with a godly husband. And a lasting place in Israel. You know, Ruth has already joined God's people spiritually, but now she gets to have her son inherit land in Israel. It's like she's put a flag in the ground, and now this is hers now too, that all of God's promises that have been made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all these are now going to be hers as well. It's a really special thing that is happening to her. Letter C, the Lord blesses Naomi with a redeemer. And this redeemer isn't even called Boaz or Ruth. Who is it? It's little baby Obed. What a sweet name that would be for Obed. Obed. Obed is the one who is called Naomi's redeemer because Obed will take the place of the son that passed away before and make sure that Naomi is not blocked out of the lasting promises of God. But is that the end? What happens in verses 17 to 22 of the book of Ruth? What do we call that where we see so-and-so fathered so-and-so, they fathered so-and-so, and fathered... What is that called?
A genealogy.
Now, has anybody here ever liked to write stories? Any creative writers? We have some hands up, okay? Have you ever ended one of your stories with, and Bob fathered Jim, who fathered Joe, who fathered... No. Why would you not do that?
Takes too long.
Okay, takes too long? Does it seem a little bit boring to us, maybe?
Yeah. Because it's the end of the story.
It's the end of the story? If you're going to introduce those people, why is that not the story? And this actually gets us to one of the main reasons the book of Ruth was written. Who is the most famous person in these verses? I'll read them again. Perez fathered Hezron. Hezron fathered Ram. Ram fathered Amminadab. Amminadab fathered Nahshon. Nahshon fathered Salmon. Salmon fathered Boaz. Boaz fathered Obed. Obed fathered Jesse. And Jesse fathered who? David. See, if you go back all the way to the book of Judges, where we began, what was that haunting last line in the book of Judges? In those days, what? There was no king, and everyone did what he saw fit. Letter D, the Lord blesses Israel with a godly king. That God is not just blessing Rehoboam. Rehoboam. That's their all three of their names together. Rehoboam. The Lord blesses not just Ruth, not just Boaz, not just Naomi, but he blesses Israel. Israel starts out the book of Ruth in a time of complete chaos. And the reason why the book of Ruth was written, most people think, is to explain where did David's great-great-grandmother come from? If she was a Moabitess, does that mean that he shouldn't be king? And the book of Ruth answers that question and says, actually, she left Moab to come to Israel. She left all those foreign gods behind, and rather than being something that's like a worrying part of his past, Ruth's life is evidence of God's grace and qualifies David almost for belonging to this wonderful line of people. And this is a really, really special ending. But this isn't actually the ending of the whole story either. So turn with me to the last place we'll look. And this is another genealogy. And this is at the very beginning of the Gospel of Matthew. So the very first book of the New Testament here, we won't read the whole thing, but does someone want to read Matthew chapter 1, verse 1? You want to read that, Zach? Mm-hmm. Matthew 1, 1.
The book of genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham.
Okay. So not only was Ruth David's great-great-grandmother, great-grandmother, but she was also Jesus' great-great-great-great-grandmother. But listen to this. This is verse 5. Solomon was the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz the father of Obed by Ruth. So Ruth here is used by God not just to bring about Israel's greatest king, but to bring about the King of Kings, namely the Lord Jesus. So letter E, the Lord blesses the world with the great Redeemer King. And so again, we just look at how rich and wonderful these blessings are. It's not just that Ruth gets a husband. It's not just that Naomi gets Obed. It's not just that Boaz gets a new wife and a wonderful life. And it's not even that Israel gets David as king. It's the fact that God has been at work before this point and definitely through this point to bring about Jesus' birth in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. Boaz, we saw, he paid a costly price to redeem Ruth and Naomi. Undoubtedly, he had to give up some comfort of his own, some of the wealth he enjoyed, but he was willing to do it. The Bible tells us about Jesus' own redemption, which was not just at the cost of comfort, but at the cost of his own life. And he was willing. The Son of God was willing, we might even say even more willing than Boaz, who we saw is willing today. And he made that greatest sacrifice, even unto death on a cross. And the Bible then tells us that all those who receive him as Redeemer, who believe his promises, have been bought with a price. We have not been bought, 1 Peter says, with silver and gold, but instead with the precious blood of Christ, who was the Lamb without blemish or spot. So this is the redemption that's promised. And that all the way back in the book of Ruth, it's not as though that redemption was an afterthought. But all of these things happened to prepare the way for Jesus to be born according to God's promise that Boaz pointed forward, so that when Jesus came, because of people like Boaz, because of the king like David, because of the sacrificial system, when we read about what Jesus did, people in Israel were able to see, oh, Jesus is fulfilling all those things. Jesus is the greater Boaz. Jesus is the greater Passover lamb. Jesus is the greater king like David. He didn't just fall out of the sky with no context or background, but he fulfills all those things which went before. The Lord has richly blessed the world with the great Redeemer King for all who would believe. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, we think now of even the wind outside and are reminded of your power and your strength. And we're reminded too of your care for this world, that thousands of years ago, you would redeem a person far away to bring them near, so that through her would come David, and even more importantly, your Son and our Savior. We ask that all here would trust in him and find the redemption that he offers, the price that he has paid, and would become your children, we ask. We pray this now in his name. Amen.
Amen.